Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to our show tonight. My name is Doris Hansen. I'm your host. It's my privilege to be the host of Polygamy, What Love Is This? We do have a shockingly interesting show planned for you tonight, so please stay tuned. We are broadcasting live from the TV20 studios in Salt Lake City, Utah, and this is a telephone call-in program. We ask you to call in a little bit later on in the show. We'll open up the phone lines for you to call. Our phone number is 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. If you prefer to send your questions or comments by email to us, you can do so at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. And if you know anyone who is in the Boise, Nampa, Idaho area who you think might enjoy the show, you can tell them they can watch it on Sunday afternoons on KCLP Channel 18 from 4 until 5 p.m. And of course, all of our previous shows can be watched on the website on streaming video. On our website is whatloveisthis.tv, and from that website you can link on to information on how to order any previous show on DVD. You can link to the page where we have the answers to our top asked questions, and you can also link to find our resources that we have, how to receive free the DVD Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, as well as the Bible study Is Polygamy Biblical? And there is also information about our support group, our Life After Polygamy support discussion group. We hold it on the third Monday of each month at 6:30 p.m. And anyone whose lives have been touched or impacted by polygamy in any way, you are invited to attend. Of course, that could be half the Western United States. But remember, it's a peaceful and non-confrontational discussion group. And if you would like more information about that, just email it to us. Also, we have a website for the polygamists. If you'd like to find out the ministry that we have to people in polygamy, you can go to our website, shieldandrefuge.org. That's shieldandrefuge.org. And if you are in a polygamy group and you need help, you need questions asked, if you would like to wonder if there's a better way, there is, and would love to tell you all about it. And so you can call our toll-free number if you would like. It's a hotline just for you. It's 877-425-9993. We would love to help you. 2 weeks from tonight, the Adams Road Band will be our guests on the show. And the following night, September 17th, they will be performing the benefit conference or concert for a Shield and Refuge ministry, which we've been talking about the last several weeks. They have offered to do a benefit concert for our ministry to the polygamists, and we'd love to have you come at Mill Creek Baptist Church, 1515 East, 4500 South in the Holiday area of Salt Lake City. They will be performing some good, solid, Christ-centered Christian music. We'd love to have you come and support the ministry or just enjoy their music. 2 weeks ago, our guest on our show was Helen Radke. She is a researcher, and she researches the genealogical and the temple ritual practices of the LDS Church. Helen is with us again tonight, and she does have some shocking information that we think should be of interest to our viewers. The information, of course, demonstrates that polygamy is a contemporary and vital doctrine of the LDS belief system, and that Mormons are looking forward to owning multiple wives in the celestial kingdom. And so for the rest of the information that she has for us, I'd like to introduce again and welcome to our show again tonight. Helen, thanks for coming.
My pleasure, Doris. I'm happy to be here again.
And all the research, the work you've done.
Yes, and I want to emphasize that all of the information that I'm presenting, that we'll be presenting, has been taken from Mormon databases. Mm-hmm. And the reason that this is coming out, why I'm giving this information out, is because the LDS Church has tried to distance itself from polygamy and insists that it's one man, one woman, yet at this time, polygamous rituals are being performed in LDS temples all around the world. On the last program I was on, we discussed some early Mormons, like Joseph Smith, Hiram Smith, Emma Smith, Harold B. Lee, and early Mormons and Mormons and Mormon fundamentalists are not the only ones who have been sealed to multiple partners in LDS temples. So I'm going to give a range of a few types of different types of people who are likely to be sealed to multiple partners. And first we'll look at some celebrities. And all of this information has been taken from a current database that is owned and controlled by the LDS Church called New Family Search. So let's look at some very well-known movie stars. And if you have been divorced for many times, then the likelihood of you being sealed to all your exes is very high with Mormons. They have no scruples about sealing divorced people. And so a lot of well-known people who've been married many times have been sealed to multiple partners. So let's look at some examples. Clark Gable, 5 spouses. Rita Hayworth, sealed to 5 husbands in 1998. Clark's been sealed to 1 and is ready to be sealed to the other 4. Rex Harrison, sealed to 5 wives in 1997. Cary Grant, listed with 4 wives. Audrey Hepburn has 3 spouses. She was sealed to 2 of them on the same day in September 2009 in the St. George Temple. Writer and journalist Ernest Hemingway, who committed suicide, has 5 spouses, and one of them, Afdira Franchetti, was not married to Ernest when both of them were alive. And so this is not just where people are sealed to ex-spouses, but ex-spouses are sealed to ex-spouses. So you have, as an example, Marilyn Monroe has 3 husbands. 2 of her spouses, Arthur Miller and Joe DiMaggio, have been sealed to other spouses as well. So spouses are sealed to ex-spouses, sealed to ex-spouses, and that forms chains of plural marriages. Now, for monarchs are a classic example of polygamy, where you're going to find polygamy. So famous men, especially kings, are usually sealed to a bevy of spouses and mistresses. And sometimes a spouse will be listed on Mormon records simply as mistress or concubine. Now, I'm going to look at quickly at a couple of examples of monarchs, well-known monarchs. Henry VIII of England is listed with 14 named spouses. And that includes wives he had murdered, wives he divorced, and numerous alleged mistresses. Now, famous men in particular are usually sealed to women they had children with and women they had affairs with. That's not unusual. I didn't pick Henry out deliberately because he's been sealed to a number of mistresses. Some of the French Bourbon kings have been sealed to more mistresses than Henry. The other thing, too, is you've got, last time, remember, we had Emma Smith sharing, Emma Smith was sealed to Joseph Smith and Joseph's brother, Don Carlos Smith. Mm-hmm. You're going to get with both men and women shared spouses. It's very odd, especially with brothers. So I want to use an example here to do with Henry. Henry's older brother, Arthur, is listed with 2 spouses. But what's unusual about that, Arthur was only 15 when he died, and he was legitimately married to Catherine of Aragon, who later married Henry after Arthur's death. And Catherine Howard, who was a wife of Henry, whom Henry had executed, is also listed as a spouse of Arthur, Henry's brother. So if that sounds very confusing, it is confusing.
Definitely,
so
yes.
you have shared wives. One of Henry's daughters, Elizabeth I, very well-known monarch, She was known as the Virgin Queen, and she was definitely unmarried. She's listed with a spouse, Robert Dudley, and Robert and Elizabeth have been sealed to a child they never had, Francis Bacon Dudley. And in addition to Elizabeth, Dudley's listed with two wives. And so you've got polygamy there. So the kings and Old Testament characters, anyone who was known to have mistresses, concubines, are usually sealed to these people. This is ongoing. It's not something that was done years ago. You will see some records that are fairly recent. And it is so peculiar because it seems like the more affairs that some people had, the more likely they are to be rewarded with more spouses. So
in the when the Mormons call in or email us and say we separate us from polygamy, we're not connected with polygamy anymore. They are connected with polygamy in a big, powerful way in the Mormon temple ceremonies.
Yes. But yes, they are, and it's nobody escapes it. I mean, literally, if you had a wife and you divorced that wife, the odds are that you will be sealed to that wife, and also people are being sealed to people they were not married to, like Ernest Hemingway. David Ben-Gurion was sealed to Rachel Nelkin in 2005, and he was not married to her. And he's also been sealed to his
known wife. So they just arbitrarily pick people and seal them.
Then. Yes. Uh-huh. Now, I'm not intentionally selecting bad Mormon records. Unfortunately, there is wrong data everywhere you look in whichever files the Mormons are using to record posthumous ordinances, and at this time it's New Family Search, the genealogy is often invented. And I want to move on to the most important examples.
Helen, before you go on, would you explain that, as genealogy is often invented? What do you mean
by that?
Well,
in the case of Elizabeth I, her marriage to Robert Dudley, rumored that they could have been married, but when you look into it more closely, it didn't happen because Dudley's first wife, Amy, died under suspicious circumstances, and several years later he remarried somebody else and upset Elizabeth. If you look at the actual history, you'll find that there's literally no possibility that Elizabeth was married to Robert Dudley. Mm-hmm. They were friends. They could have been lovers. You'll get this fictionalized genealogy. And also, because I'm fairly familiar with the Tudors, I can't find records of some of the mistresses that are listed for Henry VIII. Mm-hmm. And I had the same thing happen with when I was researching French kings a few months ago. I could not find where the names of these mistresses, where did they get them from?
Do you think they just made people up? You just pulled them out of thin air, do you suppose? Or just brought them out of their historical records?
It's hard to say. I mean, and sometimes they literally would just put mistress, as I said before, and concubine on a record. It's very, very, it's very peculiar. I mean, you'll find...
It's a mild word for it.
Yes, and it's almost like, well, we know that Mormon heaven doesn't exist, but it would be a very rambunctious place. But some records they're very meticulous about. Like I was born in the same city as Errol Flynn, who was quite well known, you know, as a ladies' man. Well, he's been sealed to three spouses. I mean, it's standard. Anyone who had multiple spouses, and then a mistress or two may appear. Usually it's when they had children by the mistress, and I think it's got something to do with the sealing of children to parents. It's giving the children the opportunity to be sealed to someone, because children under eight can only be sealed to parents.
Right.
They're
right.
not baptized.
Right.
And I kind of say, well, are the Mormons doing this because it's a just-in-case policy, just in case they've changed their mind? But, I mean, let's look at Henry VIII. He had Anne Boleyn beheaded. He had Catherine Howard beheaded. And he has, and he divorced Catherine of Aragon. That started the whole split with Rome. And then he divorced Anne of Cleves. Why would these women want to be sealed to him? And then he threw Mary Boleyn, Anne's sister, over for Anne. And again, Mary's been sealed to him. Elizabeth Blount, whom he had a child with before any of these has been sealed to him, and other mistresses, they were not good enough. I mean, why would women want to be sealed to a tyrant like Henry?
For eternity.
For eternity.
Just arbitrarily giving them to him.
Yes.
Sealing them to him.
Yes. And there are so many, there's so much careless genealogy, and I put it down to the fact that the people who submit these entries, the LDS Church members, are not related. Mm-hmm. These are not family lines. And they just put the names in willy-nilly, and this has been going on for decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you've got, do you have any more famous people and kings that you wanted to discuss?
No, not really. But if you talk about famous people, whether it's Napoleon, Christopher Columbus, you're going to find a sealing to mistresses. And particularly, again, if they had children, because Christopher had children by Beatrice, uh-huh. Someone he wasn't officially married uh-huh. to. But I think the Mormons are kind of stretching it with these sealings. Mm-hmm. And again, you've got polygamy.
Yes, polygamy.
Polygamy, and you have men being sealed to multiple spouses and women being sealed to multiple spouses. But I have to say that usually men are favored more, because there seems to be no limit to the spouses they can be sealed to.
I think Brigham Young said 999 limit.
Women are more likely to be sealed to, it's LDS rules, that they should be sealed to men they were legally married to when they were alive.
Uh-huh.
You will get some irregularities, but I have a convict ancestor who was transported from England to Tasmania as a convict, and she married twice. When her first husband, Robert, died, she married Benjamin, and she's been sealed to both men.
Oh, my.
That's standard.
Oh, my.
That's not considered irregular, because she was married to both of them.
And I guess I think their standard answer is, well, they'll work that out.
Yes.
There somehow.
Yes.
They'll work
and
it out.
First,
it's not for us to question it.
Yeah, the first husband did die before, was dead before, and then she remarried and was sealed to the second husband. So, but it's all polygamy. I mean, it all rings of polygamy. There's no question about it.
And when they say that polygamy no longer is a doctrine of the LDS Church, that is a cover-up, because it definitely is a doctrine of the LDS Church, ongoing contemporary doctrine.
Yes. And I must say, I was surprised, starting with Mormon fundamentalists, at the volume of plural marriages that are going on in LDS temples today and that have been going on for some time. And I was very surprised even to find out how many women were posthumously sealed to, say, someone like Joseph Smith mm-hmm. after he mm-hmm. died.
Yes, that shocks.
And you've got women, like take Joseph Musser, the Mormon fundamentalist, who was sealed to a wife he never was not married to when she was alive. And so I'm finding a number of these cases where it's highly irregular, mm-hmm. But you could say, well, he lived a few years ago. I mean, he died in 1954, but even so, and this sealing occurred in 1902, but still, there's so many hidden records and hidden mysteries that I've uncovered in Mormon data mm-hmm. that polygamy underscores Mormonism.
It does. It is their heritage. You go anywhere in the world, and people, if you say that you're from Salt Lake City or from Utah, they will ask if you're a Mormon and if you're a polygamist.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the first question that they ask.
Yes.
Now, I would like to mention to our viewers that we are going to be 15 minutes late, at least 15 minutes late, in opening up the phone lines tonight, because the next piece of information, a couple of pieces of information that Helen has, is so important and so detailed, we need to give her plenty of time to present the details and to discuss it. So we won't be opening up the phone lines till about 8:45. So why don't you just go ahead with what you have?
This is so, it affects me emotionally. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it I don't like to put judgments on my research, but it borders on blasphemy, and so it's a struggle. I'll try and just present the information without showing an emotional reaction. Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, the most important figure in history, was baptized and confirmed a member of the LDS Church by proxy on April the 8th, 2010, in the Salt Lake Temple, of all places. Jesus was subjected to initiatory temple ordinances on April the 8th, an endowment ceremony on April the 9th, and a marriage sealing to Mary Magdalene on April the 9th. All rites were done in the Salt Lake Temple. And for those of you who don't know, initiatory ordinances are washing and anointings that occur before the endowment ceremony. And so they're preliminary rituals. Now, Jesus was baptized under the pseudonym Jesus Christian, but there are enough indicators on his Mormon record to identify him as Jesus.
So are they trying to hide the fact that he was the one they baptized, do you think?
It's possible that the system is set up to block submissions that contain the names Jesus Christ, because this particular record, the surname was spelled C-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, and a similar record spelled C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N surname was caught, and the ordinances showed not available, and that's still in the database.
Okay.
So it's possible that this was a manipulation of data, but the thing is, there are enough indicators on the record, such as his birth in Jerusalem. His birth in Bethlehem and death in Jerusalem. And I struggle to talk about this. It's difficult.
It's difficult to hear it.
And he died in his 30s on the Mormon record. So there's no question it was intended to be him.
And I agree with you. This is. I don't think it borders on blasphemy. I think it truly is. Why would they need to baptize him into the Mormon Church? Why would they even need to baptize him? He's God, for heaven's sakes.
Well, Jesus may have been baptized by Mormons before. The probability is very high. But because I don't have the actual documentation in front of me to verify that, I can't say for sure.
So the same ordinances can be done multiple times.
Well, the telling factor here is that there are numerous records for him in New Family Search. Some of the records have been combined. A combined record is usually multiple records that have been put into one record, and there are single records for him. And you can open up as a screen that says LDS Ordinances, and it will say not available. So there's no indication that whether ordinances have or have not been done, whether his name was caught and blocked. There's no way of knowing. But it does indicate that Mormons have seen fit to put his name in many times, and the same is going to apply to his mother Mary, whom we will be discussing in a few minutes. So the other thing too is with baptism, probably most Mormons would know that he was baptized by John the Baptist. However, it's hard to say, it's just conjecture. Did the submitter want a sealing to Mary Magdalene? Was this the reason why this entry was submitted? So it's very difficult to say. Mary Magdalene was also disguised. She was submitted as Maria Magdalena. Mm-hmm. However, when you see Maria Magdalena, who was born in Israel and who died in Israel, then she's definitely not a Filipino and she's not Hispanic. And when she's married to Jesus Christian, who died in his 30s, obviously, you know, there's something highly suspicious going on. The other thing, too, is that when the LDS Church removed this record, it totally purged it. Mm. It took the core of the record out, names unknown. That was a dead giveaway.
Mm. So once again, they're hiding. They're hiding and shoving things under the rug.
Yes,
so
I was about to release the report on this, and There were some suspicious circumstances about the record disappearing when it did. I think it's possible they found out I was working on the report because I was at the Family History Library.
Yeah.
And I think that I can't prove that, but records will disappear, and they'll disappear overnight very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary Magdalene was also baptized on the same day as Jesus and went through the same rituals. And so here's a very important point, and this was brought up on comments on my Facebook by a Mormon. It was a hoax. Therefore, why take it seriously? The church found out, the LDS Church, and removed the record. Therefore, it's all taken care of. I don't think so. I don't think so, because the rituals were done.
Uh-huh.
They were intended to be for Jesus.
And why would there be a hoax on something that serious anyway?
Yeah, but it's pretty standard practice for the LDS Church when something inappropriate occurs, or when there's something controversial, baptizing Jesus, then just remove the record.
Mm-hmm.
But Mormons never undo their temple rituals. And the intention was there. And so the whole idea of Jesus being married to Mary Magdalene is it's common among Mormons, even though some Mormons may deny this.
I
believe it's common. Yeah. And the fact that a Mormon believed it should be done, and it was done, shows that the belief is present in the Mormon mind.
And it goes back to the early Mormon leaders who claimed that Jesus was married and that he was a polygamist. Now, you're not saying that he's a polygamist according to this record, but it's the same leaders who said that he got married that also said that he was a polygamist. And now they're just backing it up with this kind of of ritual. Just a few months ago.
The other thing, too, is after I released my report on his Mormon baptism, the LDS Church went in and removed Mary Magdalene's name from records for Jesus, any links at all, even though on those records it may have shown LDS ordinances is not available.
Mm-hmm.
So I've noticed that there's always a lot of tension. You know, I produce these reports and records get hidden in a database that's already off limits to non-Mormons. So the LDS Church is very sensitive about this. However, I don't see a lot of ownership, I mean, about this going on. It's obviously an embarrassment, but you can't meddle with Christ.
Mm-mm.
I mean, this is a name that is sacred.
The name above every name,
yes.
The Bible says.
And the whole, what does it imply? I mean, what are they doing? You don't baptize someone who was raised from the dead. I mean, this is...
Helen, to the Mormons, Jesus is just their brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's not that special because he's just a little further along on his eternal progression than they are.
Yeah.
They don't hold him in as high esteem as the Bible and as Christians have him.
And the humanization of deity, it's almost like, well, we have to have him married.
Yes.
And there is
nobody can get to heaven without being married.
But there's no evidence at all that Jesus was married.
No.
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 No evidence whatsoever.
He was God. He created all of us humans. Why would he marry one of us?
Mm-hmm.
He was the creator.
So although the record for Jesus is not polygamous, and I haven't found any records in Mormon databases with listing him with multiple wives, it still falls in the category of invented records.
Yes.
And the tendency that Mormons have to want to marry people to people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know with a lot of Catholic saints, priests, they've sealed them to bogus spouses.
Oh, my goodness.
They'll just invent, like even someone like Padre Pio, invent spouses. So
even though they've taken an oath of celibacy, they're still going to marry them.
Yes, and these are very revered ones.
That's as ridiculous.
It's not the pedophiles running around today. These are very revered and holy people like Padre Pio.
Wow.
So, but getting back onto polygamy, Mary, the mother of Jesus, this is a very, very cut and dried record. No question about it. She was baptized on December the 9th, 2009, in the Idaho Falls Temple. She was confirmed a member of the LDS Church on the same day, all by proxy, and she went through the initiatory and endowment ceremonies, the initiatory on December 16th, endowment December 26th, and a sealing to parents on January the 7th, 2010. All rites occurred in the Idaho Falls Temple.
My goodness.
And on the pedigree that was attached to this record, it did show Jesus Christ as her son.
We have the right person here.
Yes, and again, I was at the Family History Library. Somehow or other, the record disappeared as I was about to release my report. And that listing has been merged with other new family search entries for Mary. So other baptisms are likely for her.
So they do multiple baptisms for the same person?
Well, over a period of time. You know, obviously these entries have been submitted separately over a long period. And this particular database, New Family Search, the new database, does combine records. And that, in a way, is supposed to help their problem they have with duplications, mm-hmm. which has been major before they came up with this new program. But Mary has two husbands on this record in question. So this is the December 9th, 2009 baptism.
Okay.
Now, on that particular record, Mary's spouse is listed as Joseph of the House of David, but there wasn't enough information given for him for that marriage sealing to occur. However, what is significant is that on the details page, Mary's number one husband is identified as God the Father on the source that was used the entry. Now, the source was a Joseph Smith family tree. It's a fictional family tree that is supposed to link the Smith family through Joseph's mother, Lucy Mack, back to Jesus.
Oh, my goodness.
So God the Father is listed as Mary's number one husband on that source, and Joseph is listed as her number two husband on that source.
Now, that doesn't just border on blasphemy.
No.
That's a horrible thing for them to do. You know, that, and part of the early Mormon doctrine that they deny, or at least they cover up today, is that Elohim came and had sex with mm-hmm. Mary to produce Jesus.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And one of the early Mormon prophets said that, was it wrong for Mary to have two husbands?
Yes.
No, it wasn't, considering that God the Father was one of the husbands. He can do whatever he wants.
And yes.
It just undergirds what
and
they say.
It's almost embarrassing for me to say, this sounds, and I apologize, I don't mean to offend Mormons when I say this, but I was a Mormon briefly in the 1970s, was baptized in June of 1971, and left around early 1976, mm-hmm. After going through an LDS temple and going through a lot of experiences mm-hmm. that were extremely negative. And I was officially taught in a seminary and institute class as a Mormon convert, adult convert, that Mary had sexual, or God the Father had sexual relations with Mary in order to beget Jesus, mm-hmm. that the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary so she could withstand mm-hmm. The sexual union with God the Father. So even though Mormons may say it's not official, that was something I was taught in a Mormon ward in an official class.
You and thousands of others.
As an LDS church
mm-hmm,
member.
Absolutely. But you know, you said, and I have to respect what you're doing here, Helen, you said, I don't want to offend the Mormons when you say this, but what they're doing, isn't that offensive to the Christians?
Yes, but
to God himself?
It's almost embarrassing that I ever accepted any of this doctrine to start off with. I mean, the whole idea of becoming gods. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look back now and think I had choices. And the Mormon experience was a very negative one mm-hmm. overall. The doctrine is heinous. Mm-hmm. The temple rites were hideous mm-hmm. Back in 1975. The oaths, the penalties, the the aspect of Lucifer and the endowment. Yeah. I mean, it was horrifying. Yeah. I can look back and see with regret that I ever participated in these rituals and the occult bondage that people can bring upon themselves by involvement in this type of work. But getting back to Mary, there was another record in New Family Search for the Virgin Mary, the Virgin, and that named Heavenly Father as Mary's only spouse. And Heavenly Father, believe it or not, had a separate record with a, every record has a personal identifier number, a temple code, and he had his own temple code, believe it or not. But that record disappeared. And it disappeared. And that's not unusual because members can go in and change records. The church can correct records. But that was unusual. Now, there's another file called Pedigree Resource File, which is attached to FamilySearch.org. This particular New Family Search has its own link, New Family Search. But FamilySearch.org has Pedigree Resource File, which is a genealogical database only, which means the public can access it. You can log into FamilySearch.org, go into Pedigree Resource File, type in Jesus Christ, type in Mary, Heavenly Father, and you'll see a range of entries that that state that Heavenly Father was the spouse of Mary and that Jesus Christ was the husband of Mary Magdalene. So you've got...
So do they have Heavenly Father and Joseph of Nazareth as her husbands?
In some cases they may. They'll have multiple spouses, but I was mainly looking for the ones that show Heavenly Father. He's even got separate entries. I mean, they have, and anyone can submit to Pedigree Resource, but you sort of know when Mormons are likely to have submitted the names because they're more likely to use the term Heavenly Father.
Right.
But yes, there'll be multiple spouses, there'll be a jumble, but the main thing is that it does identify, a number of records identify Heavenly Father as the spouse of Mary, and Mary Magdalene, under versions of her name, is listed as the spouse of Jesus. So there's no, there are numerous... numerous indicators in Mormon databases that of what Mormons believe. I mean, these records are a reflection of Mormon theology, whether it's official or unofficial. The other thing, too, is when you get close to ordinances, you're going to have information more likely to disappear. Because, as I said before, the church is very sensitive about this, and I had to chuckle when the record for Jesus Christian vanished, and it shows now name unknown, and Maria Magdalena, when that record vanished as well, showing his name unknown. John the Baptist also disappeared from the database. I mean, things will vanish, and I had to chuckle over
Par for the course. Now, are there controls that the church can have, or does have, or should have, on these entries and on these ordinances that are done? Do they claim to have control, or do they wash their hands and say we have no control?
Well, according to what I have to bring this up, according to interviews I've had with the media recently and news releases that have been released about Mormons and Jews reconciling, which is the most ridiculous news reports I've ever heard of, while they're still baptizing Jewish Holocaust victims from lists, I think they claim to have more control than they actually do have, because records are going in there that are out of control. For example, Carol Joseph Wattia, Pope John Paul II, who's been baptized five times. His name was in there again last time I looked, a couple of days ago, as in process, reserved by an LDS church member. I mean, names go in, and I think they have to search manually to find some of them. It's hard to say. I don't know if the system is set up so that some names are automatically blocked. You know, so if there's 25 entries for Michael Jackson, would the system be able to block Michael Jackson? I don't think so, even if they added his middle name. I'm not sure on that one because I have never submitted entries. I just know that names appear, and if they're controversial, a lot of times the church will catch the names, but a lot of times it doesn't. Josef Mengele, the Nazi doctor, who's well known for his experiments mm-hmm. on twins, and I have twins, so that really hits I'll home to you. Me. Yeah. He was baptized a few months ago. Last time I looked, the record was still in there. I mean, Nazis are... Josef Goebbels, Hitler's propaganda minister, was baptized a few months ago, re-baptized again.
Oh, my goodness.
Members get very creative. They submitted the entry under his mother's maiden name. They put that in last. So it's difficult for them to catch their own people. Mm-hmm. You've got some very determined Mormons and who want to manipulate the system.
Well, they claim to be the saviors of all yes. mankind by doing this.
Yeah, and they are still putting Jewish Holocaust names in. I mean, at least they were until recently. Names go in there. A lot of times the church does block the entries, and that means the temples can't process them. And of course, I would say the entries that were the most disturbing outside of the Jesus and Mary ones were the 9/11 hijackers. 15 of the names of these terrorists were submitted.
Goodness.
And they didn't catch all of them. And one, he was baptized last May 2009, Selim al-Hazmi. He was on the plane, purportedly on the plane that crashed into the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. So there's... the other thing too is a lot of times records are blocked after the event.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. You know, these people get baptized numerous times. I think that I can't speak for the LDS Church, but they're trying to cut down on duplications. They're trying to cut down on inappropriate entries. They're trying to catch them before they go through the temples. But why are they doing this?
Why are they even doing it? I mean, it's so disrespectful. To pick on the people that obviously want to be private in what they believe, and they don't mm-hmm. want to be Mormon. They rejected it or don't even want it, and yet yeah. they insist on doing it.
But the polygamy aspect is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The lines of polygamous unions, mm-hmm. Many, many people are being sealed to multiple partners. The extent of it is major.
Well, they can't. They cannot say. They can't call into our show or email us and rip us apart for bringing polygamy and LDS together when they're sealing Mary, Jesus's mother, to two men.
Mm-hmm.
For heaven's sakes, and that was just a few months ago.
Yes, and it's disturbing. The other thing too that's disturbing, a few years ago the LDS Church had ordinance information available to the public on CD-ROM that you can access at any family history centers, and then it went online, their online International Genealogical Index in May 1999, and that has since been superseded by New Family Search. What is really disturbing is in New Family Search appears to be closer to the temple file that they use, the temples use, than the other databases. I'm finding that some of these records, like the records for Jesus, not the recent ones, but older ones, they're just in New Family Search. They're not in the other databases. And I have found numerous records that have popped up in New Family Search, like that mystery sealing for Harold B. Lee to that woman he was never married to when his first wife was alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to find some of these records on the older databases that were accessible to the public. There's so much hidden data
yeah.
in Mormonism.
Yeah.
And now the public at this point in time cannot even see the names that are going in. Why are they hiding all of this information?
Good question. Maybe we can have a caller who knows what's going on or who would be honest enough with us to tell us why. Why are they doing this? Why are they hiding all this information? What have you got to hide? If you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, hide it, yes. But if you're doing something, do it openly. Don't hide it.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Don't hide it. We have an off-the-air question, Helen. I don't know if you're ready to take a question, but it says, if someone is sealed to a spouse who is also sealed to multiple other spouses, do they all live together in heaven, or is everyone split up into separate worlds?
You know, that's a very intelligent question. I've wondered about that.
I get that question a lot from people.
And of course, we're being hypothetical because we know this doesn't work, and the so-called celestial kingdom doesn't exist.
Right.
And so I guess what the question is the intention that they all live together.
Well, the families are forever.
Yes.
And they say, so they still families together. But if this eternal progression, which they is their doctrine also, is true, then they would have to be separated in order to go to their all these other worlds. So they wouldn't be together anyway.
But from some understanding of Mormonism, you've got a couple of aspects here. You've got choice and you have worthiness. That's one of the favorite Mormon words, worthiness. So I imagine that this would all be delegated by other authorities. And so it's all kind of, you know, how God's going to work everything out.
Yeah, he'll work it all out.
Like all this mishmash of records, God's going to somehow work it all out.
They're causing a lot more problems for him than
God's,
they need to
God's
be doing.
God's going to have quite a time working it out. So I imagine it varies from case to case, but we're being hypothetical because we know that none of this
happens. None of it is even real. And then I was thinking today, as I was thinking of what we were talking about, and I decided I would bring up a scripture that just kind of puts it all together in Psalm chapter 50, verse 21. God is rebuking the people who thought that he was like them. He said, these things hast thou done, but I kept silence. Thou thought that I was altogether such as one as thyself. In other words, they were thinking God was like us. And he says, I will reprove thee. He is not like us. Mary did not have sex with Elohim to produce Jesus. They didn't need to baptize him or seal him to her because he's not like us. He's absolutely other. And he is deity. We are not, and we never will be deity.
And also, they're defining God. Well, they're totally ignoring the fact that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit through the Holy Spirit.
Supernaturally.
So they're denying the miraculous power of God with that act, and they're making Jesus like any other,
just like one of us,
any other mortal.
That's right.
So I have trouble with the concept of becoming gods. It doesn't make any sense. It sounds to me like something Satan would say.
He did in the Garden of Eden.
I'm going to become a god, and I'll make you all into gods.
Right, right. And Jesus said that everything that Satan says is a lie. We will take some phone calls now. If you'd like to call in, 801-973-TV20, 801-973-8820. Please respect our guest by making sure that your question or comment is on topic. And if you have anything that you would like to say that's off topic, we'd love to hear from you by email or maybe in a future show. But make sure that your call tonight is on topic so that Helen can answer according to her expertise. We have on line two, Diane in Sandy calling. Hello, Diane.
Hi.
Hello.
Is this Doris?
Yes, this is Doris.
Is this Doris?
Yes. Yes, this is Doris.
Hi, I'm sorry. My question is mainly for Helen. I've heard that President Obama's mother has been baptized. I've got three people. President Obama's mother, Billy Graham's wife, and Mother Teresa.
Yes.
And I'm going to get off the phone so I can hear you.
Okay, thank you, Diane.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi, Diane. Thanks for your question. Yes, they have all been baptized, and we also think that Barack Obama's African ancestors have been baptized too, and also Ruth Bell. Was Billy Graham's wife? I think was her maiden name. Mm-hmm. Yes, she has been posthumously baptized, and Mother Teresa, who has Agnes, B-O-X, she has an unpronounceable last name. I believe she was Albanian. She has been Posthumously baptized.
My goodness. And they want to be called Christian. They do necromancy, which is baptism for the dead, which is against God's command. Totally an unchristian thing. And then they take a Christian like Ruth Bell Graham and do an unchristian thing to her posthumously.
While her husband's still alive.
While he's still alive.
They must get permission. If the person was born within the last 95 years, they must get permission from the next of kin. Now, I'm not sure what year Ruth was born, and she's been baptized within the last couple of years. So it would have been at least a year after her death.
Yeah, she hasn't been dead very long.
So, yes, so she has been posthumously baptized, but I doubt that Billy was asked.
Or Franklin or any of the other high-profile Christian leaders.
But the Obama story is a bit of a tangle, too detailed to go into here. But yes, Stanley and Dunham, I was the one who discovered that record on taking a break from doing something else, working on Mormon fundamentalists. And I found that particular record, and it caused quite a stir.
Wow.
But most of the Obama family have been posthumously baptized, the deceased ones. I even found a record for Barack Obama, born in 1961, that showed he was still born. And that record was removed. I mean, I took a copy of it. It's in my files.
Wow.
There's some very strange entries that end up in your family.
Wow. I wonder if he was contacted to get permission to do their work. We have on line one Annie from Salt Lake. Hello, Annie.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air, Annie.
Hi, Doris. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I really appreciate your guest visitor. I am a Messianic Jew, and I would like to ask the question, is do the LDS Church do baptism of the dead to increase their roles in the church?
No. No, definitely not. They don't count. People who've been posthumously baptized as members, because the emphasis is on they can accept or reject.
They do it so that they'll have the opportunity to become a Mormon forever.
Yes. They may keep a tally on the number of ordinances that they do for their own statistics, but no, there's no membership involved at all.
Unless it's a membership in heaven that they're keeping, we wouldn't know that. Okay, Annie, does that answer your question?
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Annie.
Thank you, Annie. Good night. Okay, line three, we have Stephanie in South Jordan. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. What's your question?
I don't have a question. I just, everything that I've been hearing, there's a lot of untrue things, and I just wanted to clear it up.
There's a lot
I'm sorry, what?
There's a lot of what? I didn't catch that, what you said.
Untrue things that are being said. Oh. And I just want to clear it up. I'm not offended or anything. I just want to clear it up.
Okay.
You have to be specific, though.
And one of the main things is that we do not believe that God had sexual relations with Mary.
Stephanie, it's part of your doctrine, and I can send it to you. I'll quote it next week on the show. It's part of your doctrine.
It's part of what?
It's part of the LDS doctrine.
I don't think that they meant literal.
Oh, yes.
What I believe is that it was done the way that the Bible said it was done, because we believe in the Bible.
It may not be official. However, I was taught it as a Mormon. In a class.
If it's not official, then it's not true.
And I've read
many.
And when
it's taught to you in an institute class, then it's not true.
And
then another thing, too, was that as far as us becoming gods, Jesus was baptized, and was baptized to be an example. He didn't need to be baptized. He was already perfect, but he just needed to be baptized as an example to us, so that we would know what to do, because he is our example.
Okay, Stephanie.
And we do
Stephanie,
have him in very high esteem.
Stephanie,
he is our Savior.
Stephanie, excuse me. Stephanie, I'm going to disconnect you if you don't allow us to talk. You are saying some things that have nothing to do with what Helen is talking about. You're giving us what you are seeing. Doctrine is what you've been taught, but Helen has found this information out in the LDS records. And what she has found out is opposite of what you're saying. And so we have to take it. That's what we've got Helen here for, is to say what she's found out and researched. And we do thank you for your call. Good night. We have an off-the-air call from Tony. Have they baptized Satan?
I have found no record for Satan's.
He's Jesus' brother, so according to them, anyway, you'd think they'd not miss him.
But we don't know.
Yeah.
We simply do not know. Cain is in there ready for posthumous baptism.
Uh-huh.
But if Satan was in there, the record could have been purged. Mm-hmm. But we don't know. I have to say I have no evidence of that.
Mm-hmm. There was, and I mentioned this on the show several months ago, that there is a polygamy group that was doing baptisms for the demons.
Really?
And that they were accepting Christ after the baptisms, which is very, very strange. But that's a polygamy group that was doing it, not the Mormon church, mainly for that.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that. So.
Yeah, very weird, very strange.
Yeah, now the thing that's interesting about that call was, Stephanie, you've got Mormons who are almost shocked. This is their data.
It is their data.
And I've bent over backwards to try and explain it explicitly, getting the dates right, the information, and I have much more information. I have copies of everything, files. It's almost like I'll have to move out of my condo and let the files live there. I have so many. So it is pointless to argue this where the evidence is so solid to support these claims.
That's right.
You've either got Mormons totally violating their own beliefs, but it's the preponderance of the evidence because you're going to get so many Mormons who believe that God the Father had sex with Mary.
Right.
So many Mormons believe that Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene. It's almost a mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Just because a Mormon here and there says, I don't believe it,
doesn't mean
these are not dominant beliefs. And you need to go back into 19th century Mormonism.
Right.
To look at the sources for some of these beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Now, we are, thank you, Helen, for coming. We are at the end of the program. We want to thank all of our viewers for watching. And Helen, thank you again for coming and sharing your information. And I would just like to end by saying Jesus' final words may be heard by many people that says, away from me, I never knew you, which means that you had the wrong Savior. We're depending on the wrong thing or person to save you. Jesus is not our brother just on the way for salvation. He is God Almighty, mighty to save. It's only through Jesus Christ's work on the cross that anyone will be saved, not by any works or rituals or baptism for the dead or a second chance after death. Even the Book of Mormon says we don't get a second chance. But Jesus warned that only a few people would find and enter into the narrow way to eternal life. Only a few would find it, he said, and be saved. And if he said only a few would find it, that means you need to look for it. That means you need to search for it. If he used the word find, and it was Jesus who said that. And so we implore you, look for it. Search it out. Don't depend upon celestial marriage or baptism for the dead or anything else that you think that you can do. You need to get on the narrow way. You need to look for it and find it. And we implore you to start looking today. Don't end up being one of those who hear for eternity, away from me, I never knew.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email@whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.